This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, I survived, and I'm here, and I'm Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
I'm Jamie Jennings in Norman, Oklahoma. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for December 4th, episode 2323. This episode is brought to you by Stateline Tack. Good morning, horse world.
Hey, Santa, what's shaking, man?
Dancing through the snow.
By the way, congratulate me this Christmas. I'm going for it. No antidepressants.
Somebody ought to teach that little humbug some Christmas spirit.
That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
Oh my goodness, I missed all of our little holiday bumpers. I was just like listening, thinking of Charlie Brown. And by the way, happy Hanukkah, happy Kwanzaa, happy, anytime we say Merry Christmas, we just mean all of them. It's like,
yeah,
a blanket,
right,
statement.
It's all inclusive.
You know, we just sit here and talk, so we could get in a lot of trouble. So we're just going to give a blanket statement of like, we're talking about all the holidays now. It's going into that season. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Just get over it. Just be okay with everything. Just live and let live. Okay?
And I think Jennifer included about every Christmas cartoon there was in that little opener.
I could see Charlie Brown.
I think Donald was in there.
I love it. Well, coming up on today's show, it's Glenn has a radiothon hangover, so we're going to do the best we can. I got some weird news for you. We're going to talk about the PACT Act, PAC, Preventing Animal Cruelty and Torture Act. You know, Debbie had Priscilla Presley.
No, this is a different one. This was the animal cruelty one that was
just
passed.
That's the PAST Act. Okay. So, sorry.
Yeah.
So, yeah, even I don't know.
The PAST Act hasn't passed yet.
Okay. Well, we're working on this one today. We're going to hear a little bit more about it. Thank God I'm learning about it. And we're also going to talk to Stanford from Black Reins and meet a very, very cool chick. So stick around for that. And we'll just go to Daily Winnie's. I'm just going to help you out, Glenn, today.
Thank you.
Just sit back and relax.
Prop me up. I kind of have two Daily Winnies today. The first, of course, is to thank everybody that was involved in Radiothon, the hosts, the sponsors, especially Stateline Tack and Horselovers.com, our title sponsors. Without them, we could not do it. It's just too much work. The prize providers, you will be contacted. You don't have to contact us. We'll get around to it. Believe me, this week sometime we'll be contacting you by email to get your addresses, and then what we do is we forward all that to the people who donated the prizes, and they ship it directly. We don't ship anything. So we will be doing that this week. There were 52 prizes given out, so that's a record for us. And, of course, all the listeners, you know, the stories and the songs and the poems, we had over 2 hours of them.
The hashtags,
all of it. I mean, the stories this year were incredible. The songs were very well done. There was just some, and I think, you know, without those, it's just us talking, but you guys really do make it by submitting those, and it just makes it a hell of a lot more fun every hour.
I'm going to tell you, nobody's listening to this episode, Glenn, and I'll tell you why, because everybody's still trying to get caught up re-listening to the radiothon. So this is going to get no downloads, but that's okay. We're here.
If you are listening and you want to listen to Radiothon, you can find it at holidayradiothon.com. All the players are on the homepage right there, or you can go to this feed, the Horses in the Morning feed. Has all of the hours, so you can we break them up by hour. Jemmy did a great job of getting them out immediately on Monday. So, and it went, you know, it went. We only had one bobble during the day, and that
was
Skype crashed on us. But that was it. I mean, there was one bobble. The live listeners heard that, but we cut it out of the recording. But yeah, other than that, all the technology worked, which I'm always impressed that it does. And we had over 220 calls on Monday
that we could get to.
We had 12 lines, and Jennifer was working her ass off to get to them. So
awesome.
So yeah, it was a lot of fun, and I hope we made a lot of people. We made 50 people's Christmases a lot happier. That's for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Now don't forget your birthdays.
Yes. Okay, so birthdays right now. I hope I got them all. If I didn't, happy birthday to the people I missed. Regular guest on the show, Marsha Hartford Sapp. It's her birthday today. And then as far as auditors are concerned, we have Anne Mabardi, Colleen Nolan Tran. Colleen Nolan Tran. Aaron, Aaron,
nobody says Colleen. Aaron, nobody's name is Colleen, okay?
Apparently I do. Aaron Makowitz. Scott Kreidler. Was Scott the one that was posting all the winners?
I believe yeah. so. Yeah, he did and a killer job.
Good job. He was with us all day on the chat in the auditor room. And Carol Ann. So happy birthday to all of
it
you.
Was mentioned that the more you drank, the better you pronounce names. So
I know, apparently
let's keep that in mind.
I need to drink before the show in the mornings.
Well, I feel like I'm beating a dead horse here, but my Daily Winnie was going to go out to you and everybody involved in Radiothon. That's such a fun day. And just being a host and being a part of it is really fun. And then, you know, I did 2 hours and I knew I had a third to do. And yet I still am a glutton for punishment and listened to most of it when I had enough internet walking around the farm. So I just appreciate it. It was really, really fun. And the second Daily Winnie is, oh my gosh, the little horse in training I had, AJ Daylight, the chestnut gelding that was here for about 3 weeks, has been adopted, ladies and gentlemen. Yay, he was adopted. I know that people that are friends with me on Facebook are probably getting tired of all the training videos that I'm posting of each one of these horses that I've had in. However, that's what got him adopted. So suck it. They're going to keep coming. And did you see?
There go is to my an Facebook unfollow picture. Button.
Yeah,
Facebook.
Just unfriend me. I don't care. It's not going to hurt my feelings. Just go to Glenn, my Facebook page right now, and look at the video I posted of the new horse in training. His name is Onita Ridge. I'm going to just call him Ridge because that's easier. And he is a 6-year-old gray gelding. Oh, my God, he's pretty. I mean, he's gorgeous. So he is a 6-year-old. He was adopted. He only raced, I think, once. And then he was adopted out. And
gray kind of looks tan in the picture.
That is Oklahoma red dirt at its finest.
So he is gray.
He is a gray. He's a dapple gray.
I wasn't sure
somewhere.
If he was a dun or what he was. He
I think Thursday will be warm enough to give him a proper bath and see what color he
is
actually is. Yes, he's an off the track thoroughbred. He raced one time. And I not much is known about the history aside from the fact that he went to Horse and Hound Rescue Foundation, which is where I get all these horses in training from. And he was adopted out. They beat him up quite a bit and then sent him back. They're like, he's really not doing what we said because, you know, they were, you know, you bring a whip into anything and they're just not going to comply as kindly as they should. So anyway, he was beat up quite a bit and then they sent him back. So they're, you know, incrementally, they're giving me more exciting, difficult horses to train. Like the first couple were so sweet. I'm like, this is like the easiest job ever. And then they've got incrementally harder. So this one will be, this should be a lot of fun.
Trot.
Oh my God, he's gorgeous.
Yeah.
So we'll have to figure out his brain. He's a little bit of a mess, but that's okay. 45 minutes to load and now he loads fine. So I was able to at least get that going. They said he loaded great when we sent him away, but then when we brought him back, apparently they couldn't get him in the trailer. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there you go. So that's what happens. But we'll it'll be fun to kind of see his progress. And again, we're just going to call him Ridge. His name is Ridge.
You know what we ended up talking about a lot from Monday's show?
Hashtag damn it, Zeus.
Well, that and the egg on the forehead. Most of the discussion was not putting the egg on the forehead. It was how do you get the egg out there without breaking in your pocket? That was the most of the discussion.
I worked for Ramon Becerra. He's a horse trainer out in California. Ironically,
for those that didn't hear it, what's if a horse bucks?
I'm gonna tell you. Okay. Yeah, and he actually told me this year, like 25 years ago, and I remember thinking I'm gonna try that someday, and then I realized it's impossible to time that when your horse is rearing.
Bring an egg in your pocket that doesn't break.
Yeah, so you're supposed to take a raw egg. Not you're supposed to. this is something that I would not endorse because I feel like it could
cowboy myth apparently
potential. I just feel like it's very unsafe for the rider. So what happens? Your horses has a rearing problem. When they rear up, you crack a raw egg on their head
forehead, right between the eyes, basically
on their pole. Yeah, right. Down. On their pole, so yeah. It hits them on the pole, and then they think that it gets blood, and then apparently the horses never rear again. And somebody called in and said that that happened to them and their horse. And I remember Ramon told me that too. But you know what? I am not going to. There's better ways.
Well, first of all, I'm a klutz. If the horse is rearing and I'm trying to get a raw egg out of my pocket,
yeah, right?
And then get it smashed on the forehead, I'm going off by that point, yeah. And I have a broken egg. In my hand.
That is massive skill. And then you got a broken egg in your pocket. Yeah.
Exactly. Or in my
hand. And a horse that still rears.
Yeah, exactly. Now, so, this apparently worked for this girl. So she must have incredible coordination because.
Yeah.
It didn't. Yeah. I can't see how I'd even get the egg out to the barn without it cracking. First of all, the first thing that Scooter does is he assaults me and checks every pocket for treats. So that egg would be gone. That'd be the end of that.
You'd have to have a few in different places.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's what they were talking about. But again, not endorsed by me, simply because, not that I don't know. I mean, I can't say if it would work or not, but I think that if potentially there's a horse with a rearing problem and I crack an egg, there is no telling what the response of that horse is going to be. And so I just feel like the unknown of me sitting on the back of
the horse with a raw egg, but.
No, but what if they like freak out and flip over, you know, or like lay down or
fall? First thing I thought of is then they got raw egg in their eyes and they're going to try and wipe their eye on their knee and now you're off the front.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Again, that was from Radiothon.
It's funny. We ended up talking about that here after the show the other day.
Did you? 12 hours. That was an hour one. And that's what sticks with you. Wow.
Well, that's kind of weird news, right? I mean, doing eggs on foreheads. And I'm sure there's other myths. We'll have to do a myth episode sometime of all the myths that are out there.
I am not myth busting for you, okay?
You can not get. Yeah, happen. We'll film it and see if we can get it. We'll see if it's true or not, like Mythbusters did. We'll do the horse version. And you can do it. So you're the one that gets hurt.
All right. Yeah. Play the news sounder. It's not going to happen.
Oh, yeah. We're doing.
Oh, my God. It's like wrangling cats.
I'm a little out of it.
Well, there's a nice, lovely family living in Lake Tahoe that was up at their home. And they were in their kitchen from up above. And they looked down at their car. And this is from NBC. Okay, there's a video of it. And apparently it says a California family got a rude introduction to bold wildlife earlier this week when a wandering bear managed to open the car door of their SUV and got in. Yes, a bear.
This happens a lot. How do bears know how to open the door?
They're evil geniuses is what they are, apparently. So they were watching the scene through the window of their home as they're like, hey, that's a bear. And it's a brown bear. And you can see it actually opening the door and then it climbs in and then the door closes. I'm pretty sure it's not going to know how to open the door to get out. So, and that's what they figured out. So what to do? Somebody is videoing a family member from as far away as possible. Can you imagine the courage it takes to run over and open a car door to let the bear out? Okay. So they're standing like in the side and they run over and open the car door and run away. And what does the car door do? It closes.
It just closes again because the bear's trying to figure out. He's still in there eating the Pringles.
So, they opened it and then it just closed immediately. So they had to do it again. So apparently at some point the bear scrambled out of the car and then leisurely walked away. And you can hear the person in the video, hope it didn't tear up your car. That's what happens when you live in Lake Tahoe. Hey, you know what you would not expect? Oh, give me a sounder. When you think of Baltimore, you don't think of a rural area. You think of a pretty big city, Baltimore. And apparently in West Baltimore, this is not the first time this has happened. A one-year-old named number 33 was heading back to his farm. He's an Angus. He was in his bull trailer. He's 1,600 pounds. Whoa. And apparently, while he was at some sort of, I guess, a traffic light, he decided to kick open the door of the trailer and leave and take off and run around Baltimore for quite some time.
It was a bull?
A black Angus bull. And the problem is he's running around like a university, and the picture of there's a bunch of girls, I think it's like Coppin State University. They have a picture of the students, staff, and faculty standing around watching the bull as it is trying to get away from the authorities. And it's all these girls with their cell phones out. Like, you better not get in trouble around there because they will catch it. So it took, let me see here. They come out, they call the Maryland Zoo, and the Maryland Zoo comes out and they get their tranquilizers, right? Because there's apparently a slaughterhouse close by, but this bull was not going to the slaughterhouse, it was going to the farm. And it took not one, not two, but three rounds of tranquilizers to get the bull down.
Well, he's evaded up.
the adrenaline was going. In a video, it evades fences, police tapes, went into a neighborhood. A towing company was eventually called to help load the bull onto the flatbed tow truck and into the livestock trailer. Nobody was injured. And the farmer is super excited. His quote is, "They could have shot that bull 2 hours ago and been done with it. He's extremely valuable to us, and we're just glad to have him alive."
Some of those are worth a fortune.
Yeah, I would imagine a really well-bred black Angus bull is
a fortune. I mean, tens of thousands of dollars.
Yeah. Oh my gosh,
they're not
really
eating that one. So no.
It's the third bull to escape in West Baltimore this year.
As police are going to need bull training.
Oh my god. All right, this happened about a month ago, but I'm just now getting word of it because this is scary. British police have arrested a 66-year-old man in connection with the theft of something that they stole from England's Blenheim Palace. Blenheim Palace.
They have
something
a show there, right?
Stolen. Yeah. Yes, Blenheim is a horse trial, and somebody walked inside, and I don't know how they did it, but they removed and stole a toilet. A toilet was plumbed into the walls at Blenheim Palace, and somebody walked in and stole it. Why would they steal it? I don't know. Maybe because it's freaking solid gold. There is a solid gold toilet in Blenheim Palace, and apparently, and that sounds weird. Like, how did they get a toilet? I mean, a solid gold toilet has to be fairly heavy. They broke in overnight, left the scene around 4:50 a.m. local time. The toilet is, by some estimates, worth up to $1.25 million.
Well, you know, if you steal the expensive paintings on the wall, you have to you have to get rid of them, right? The toilet you can melt down.
Lord Edward Spencer Churchill, brother to the Duke of Marlborough, said, quote, "It's not going to be the easiest thing to nick. Firstly, it's plumbed in. And secondly, a potential thief will have no idea who last used the toilet or what they ate. So no, I don't plan on guarding it." Okay, here's where it takes a turn for the weird.
That's the British sense of humor right there.
Right? I know. I love it. The toilet's name, I don't want to know why.
Had a name?
It has a name. Oh. Because it used to be at the Guggenheim in New York on display. And the name of the toilet is America. Okay, that's not the weird part. So America is a toilet that I'm going to read the quote from the article. Quote, "The fact that it is a very welcoming, inviting for anyone to use, and gets to the heart of a lot of questions around exclusivity in the art world and museums in particular." Nancy Spencer, the curator of the Guggenheim, "The notion of having a very intimate, private experience with a work of art and a work of art that speaks dramatically about its own value is fascinating on many levels." People can use a toilet. Did you know you can go in and pay to have like 6 minutes with the toilet in the bathroom?
Let me get this right. It was at the museum and he actually brought it home and had it plumbed into the bathroom?
Into the castle. And then
that's when you know you're rich.
When it was in the Guggenheim, you could use it. You could go in and pay money to spend like 6 minutes with it.
So I could pay to pee in the gold toilet, apparently.
I believe so. I mean, yeah, you can do whatever you want for 10 minutes with the golden toilet. Anyway, that was weird news. I just thought that was weird news.
That toilet now does not look like a toilet. It has been
$1.25 million.
Well, that leads us perfectly into
one more. I have one more short one here. All right. This is something I'm going to have to remind Chad of when he's on his American Airlines flights going across the country. I think this could potentially be somebody's worst nightmare. And actually, it turned out to be the worst night of Air Canada passenger Tiffany Adams, because she was supposed to be on just a short 90-minute flight from Quebec to Toronto. Okay. So she's on the flight and she said she experiences anxiety and insomnia. So in my assumption, she probably self-medicated for the plane. She fell asleep in a row of seats on a nearly empty flight. And then she woke up and the plane had been at its destination and had been parked far away from any terminal. Oh, she had no cell phone battery, no idea where she was, no idea. And the plane inside is black. It is completely dark. She has no cell phone light to go around. She says she made her way up to the cockpit where she eventually found a flashlight. The light helped her figure out how to open the main exit door. So she opens the exit door.
She's 20 feet up.
50 feet from the ground. She said she was staring at what was a 40 to 50 foot drop to the ground. Hardly an attractive means of escape. She's decided to shine the light on the side of the jet to like see. And finally, some dude who was driving around one of the luggage carts saw her and rescued her from the plane. Could you imagine waking up? It's like doing that on a city bus and they like parked it, you know, like, oh, my God. Where is everybody?
And usually when you're waking up from that kind of sleep, you kind of go, where am I? You have no idea. And you're kind of lost. And then it takes you a second to remember.
And you're like, oh, my God, I'm on a plane. Oh, my God, why am I on a plane?
And of course, your battery was dead. That just.
Yeah, of course. Air Canada representatives offered her a ride home and then called her twice to apologize, saying they've launched an investigation on how she was missed by the plane's crew when everyone else got off the flight. They send in cleaners.
Yeah, don't they usually go up and down the aisle and at least check that everybody's gone?
Yes!
She must have been laying down on the seats, too, otherwise.
Yeah, she was in a whole row by herself. Yeah. She just tucked right in. But there's supposed to be people walking up and down, like picking up, you know, the trash and stuff. Yeah, just so you know. That's weird news.
It is weird news. Well, I'll tell you what, gold toilet brings us to my crappy list for this Wednesday. And of course, I try and make them holiday related this time of year. And I have the 10 most valuable and most expensive toys that you can get this year. So for those of you that can afford a gold toilet and to charge people to come in and use it, you can afford some of these.
I mean, they're making their money back.
That's right.
You know, it's a good investment.
Number 10 is a diamond Barbie. So this Barbie is diamond encrusted. It has a diamond necklace. It has a diamond rings, and it pretty much has a diamond dress. And all of that you can have for a mere $302,500 this year. It's by Stefano Cantori. And it's the Stefano Cantori Diamond Barbie Collection. Apparently, they've sold more of these in past years.
Okay, this is ridiculous.
So there you go.
I really don't like what she's done with her bangs.
Her hair looks funny. It really does look funny.
She's got an updo, Glenn. She's fancy.
That was from like the 1970s. It's like gold rocking horse. Yeah, that's right in our avenue here. It's a Japanese jewelry designer, Ginza Takana. Tanaka took things a step further by creating one of the most valuable and expensive toys in the world. He designed a rocking horse made of 24 karat gold, used to be a toilet. Widely expensive toy was created in honor to celebrate the birth of somebody in Japan.
Prince?
It weighs 80 pounds. It's an 80-pound gold rocking horse with what looks like a great big diamond in it.
Wait. Hold on. It's been sold.
Oh, it has?
It has been sold. Guess who bought it?
I don't know.
Beyonce and Jay-Z, the power couple, acquired the rocking horse for their daughter, Blue Ivy.
Well, there you go. Well, you can't get the $600,000 rocking horse.
Sorry, it's sold. It's at Beyonce's house.
Well, that's okay, because you can get a Masterpiece Rubik's Cube that is worth $1.5 million. And that's because it has all kinds of precious gems in all the little squares. And that's how they use different color gems to make the different color little squares in the Rubik's Cube. So it's emeralds, amethyst, and rubies totaling 180 carats.
Oh my God, what a waste of money. Nobody can play with those anyway.
Right,
have you ever figured one of those out? No.
Aren't some of those sharp too? I mean, you'd probably be cutting your fingers.
Can I tell you a story about a Rubik's Cube? My brother came to my mom and had completed a Rubik's Cube. And my brother is, well, he's not, you know, that guy who's going to complete a Rubik's Cube. But
he's not Sheldon from Big Bang Theory.
No. My mom freaked out. Oh my God, Justin. Oh my God. I can't believe we gotta go. Blah, blah, blah. She like freaks out. She's so excited that she's like some genius child. And it goes on for so long that it starts to scare my brother. And he's like, Mom, I took the stickers off. He removed every one of the stickers and put them back in the correct like location.
It's in jail now, by the way.
We don't need to talk about where my brother resides. But I tell
your
you what,
twin brother.
Yes.
Yeah. Can I guess?
But yeah, he removed all the stickers. I think that focus your energy on something better.
You know, by the time you do all of that, you could have solved the Rubik's Cube.
I know, right?
That's a lot of stickers.
That's my brother. It's so funny. My Chad's family will be like, "How's your brother?" And I'm like, "He's fine." Well, what's he? I'm like, stop. I don't want to talk about it. Because y'all are like the Cleavers, and we don't need to get into my family, okay? Just move on.
Well, number 7 on the list is the Golden Monopoly board. Now, we got an Ocala Monopoly board last year, but it was not worth what this one's worth. And, of course, there's Monopoly games for everything now. There really is. Well, this one...
We have an Avengers Monopoly board, by the way.
Oh, do you? Oh, cool.
Yes.
Have you ever played it?
Yes, it's awesome. It's really fun, actually.
So this one's comprised of 18-karat gold with jewels embedded in it. And it is worth a mere $2 million.
Oh, my God. So is the money real money?
It should be. It should be. By the way, the gemstones, there's a total of 165 embedded in this one. Wow. How about a Louis Vuitton teddy bear? Yes, that's correct. A Louis Vuitton teddy bear. Now, this is not your average teddy bear. This is a Louis Vuitton teddy bear, which makes it worth $2.1 million.
Why?
You know, it says what makes this teddy bear so special is it's been outfitted in a pricey, custom-made luggage and travel gear by Louis Vuitton. So you get the travel gear and the luggage with the teddy bear.
Oh, you just chuck the bear.
It's made of real gold and fur with eyes fashioned out of sapphire and diamonds. And it's a stife. So right there, that's half the cost. And it's on display at the Toy Teddy Bear Museum in South Korea. Yes, there's a Toy Teddy Bear Museum in South Korea. So I wouldn't go there. I think that'd be creepy. Number 5 is a Szymanski soccer ball. Now, this one is a lot. It weighs 4.8 pounds, and it's encrusted with 3,500 carats of South African diamonds.
Blood diamonds, completely encrusted with blood diamonds.
Comprising 2,640 black diamonds and 6,620 white diamonds.
And if you do the math, that's about 10,000 blood diamonds.
Worth $2.5 million. And we're going to have to do the rest later because we plain run out of time for the expensive items. But you know what we can talk about is stuff you can actually afford, and you can afford it because it's on sale. State Line Tack is your blanket and gift headquarters for the holidays. They have thousands of blankets in stock from all the best brands at great prices, including Defender, Weatherbeater, Tough One, Horsewear, Shires, Tough Rider, and more. They're really stocked up this year on gifts for horse lovers of all ages as well, with briars and other great toys in stock and ready to ship, so you can give that special gift to the young riders in your life. They also have many items that can be personalized to really make your gift giving special. Visit statelinetack.com/HRN. Don't forget that /HRN part, and use HRN in the coupon code and you'll get 30% off your next order, and that's up until the end of the month.
I went to statelinetech.com, and that's fine. But if you go to statelinetech.com/HRN, there's like a whole page for listeners. And it has the Holiday Deal Center. There's like a bunch of gift tabs you can do that are just, you know, if you know where to, if you go to the HRN/HRN, daily deals, there's a holiday gift guide, which I am going to have to ask the listeners for some help because I need to get a gift for vets and farriers. And, you know, trainers need gifts and everything. So they've got a holiday buying gift guide, kitchen, home decor. Oh, Breyers. Oh my God, I'm going to click on the Breyers because
don't do it.
Oh my God, I love Breyers. So you can go to statelinetech.com/HRN and you get like a secret agent page. Okay.
There you go. The secret agent page. And don't forget to use the coupon code HRN to get your 30% off your next order. And
do you think that Zenyatta...
There's no limitations to that either.
Do you think my Zenyatta Breyer would look good with the Breyer Stonely dressage saddle? I mean, one can dream.
Well, let's change gears a little bit. We're going to go right now off to Cliff Williamson, who's the Director of Health and Regulatory Affairs at the American Horse Council. And we're going to be talking about the Preventing Animal Cruelty and Torture Act, which was just passed a couple of weeks ago. We said we needed to get somebody on to tell us exactly what was in this one because it's different than the past act that's still floating around Congress.
It's confusing that it's a PACT Act in the past act.
Yeah, exactly. So that did confuse us, and that's why we wanted to give him a call. Cliff, are you there?
I am. How are you this morning?
Good. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. I know you're at a conference, so thank you for taking time out to do this. So tell us about what I think everybody in the horse world is confused between the Preventing Animal Cruelty and Torture Act and the PAST Act that's still floating around Congress. So, and it did,
sure.
It confused us a little bit too. So tell us about the one that has been passed.
So the PACT Act, or the Preventing Animal Cruelty and Torture Act, was signed into law last week-ish, before Thanksgiving. And it is specifically intended to end crushing videos. Basically, the bill will outlaw the purposeful crushing, burning, drowning, suffocation, impalement, or other violence that causes bodily injury to animals. This is
first
largely,
of all, can I stop you there? I didn't know what crushing videos were. And
people do that?
Yeah, I was totally, and I didn't want to look it up because it just would upset me. So
don't.
Yeah,
don't look it up.
I didn't know this was a thing. Am I just totally in under a rock or what?
I honestly, I didn't know much about it. There's an entire community of people on the internet who share videos of all kinds of things. Unfortunately, animal fighting videos, be there horse fighting videos in Asia, dog fighting videos here in the United States, cockfighting videos around the world. These issues, these types of communities tend to, you know, produce people that go a step further. And that's when animal torture videos became a thing. The federal government and federal law enforcement agencies are in a tough bind here in the United States because previous to the PACT Act, Prevent Animal Cruelty Act, enforcement of a lot of these animal cruelty laws are felonies in all 50 states, but they were enforced at the state level. And so bringing in federal law enforcement act, support was difficult without a federal law making it a felony. And so this bill is intended to give law enforcement the tools they need to pursue action on people who were already felons based on the state they were living in, but were committing crimes across state lines. And so it's meant to simplify, it's meant to assist, it's meant to help. Ideally, for us at the American Horse Council, this bill will never apply to a horse or horse owner in its entire lifetime. We have a part of the bill, it tries to define some of these terms, you know, crushing, suffocation, things like that. Unfortunately, the common observers of traditional animal agricultural practices, they might construe some of our very normal activities as being a suffocating act or a crushing act or some other kind of violence, bodily violence. And luckily, this bill provided an exemption. Yes, go ahead.
Like what would be something that a horse owner could do that would be mistaken for crushing or suffocating?
Well, we have individuals who work with wild or untamed animals that utilize traditional cattle infrastructure to including squeeze chutes, head gates, those kinds of activities. And oftentimes that's the safest way to deal with an ungentled animal that needs medical care. You know, we have an animal with a severe foot injury or head trauma. Sometimes the best way to doctor or provide care to that animal is to put it in the squeeze chute type situation. Certainly, animal rights activists are looking, have implied that rodeo sports utilize roping techniques and things like that, that would also be construed as suffocation. Nice. So certainly anybody who's ever had to cowboy up and catch a horse, you know, they are concerned. And there's a lot of people within the horse industry that are concerned that the PACT Act will be used for nefarious reasons to limit our ability industry-wide to utilize our animals the way that we traditionally always have.
Well, and that
luckily,
particular group doesn't even want us riding the horses. They don't even want us owning horses.
Correct.
So, yeah.
Correct, yeah. 100%. We are never going to be able to have a legitimate conversation with that segment of the general public. So I try very hard to just keep them out of the conversation, so to speak. And this bill provides that. It provides a very specific exemption in the very end part of the bill that limits the PACT Act and prevents its language from applying to humane euthanasia, slaughter for food, recreational activities such as hunting, trapping, and fishing, medical and scientific research, normal veterinary and agricultural husbandry, or any other animal management practice that is necessary to protect the life of property or person. So in that language, we feel at the American Horse Council that the horse industry is protected from this. That said, Washington, D.C. has a long history of twisting what is intended to be good faith legislation and making very bad regulations. And so we at the American Horse Council will continue to monitor this. You know, I want all of your listeners to know that we are taking this very seriously. That said, I don't know if we need to rally the troops, so to speak, and begin to fight this. There are other groups that are intertwined into the horse industry that are taking a much more proactive approach to try to address their concerns with the PACT Act.
I think it's fantastic. I think that if you're doing something nefarious and you're hurting animals, then you are punishable. You know what I mean? Like, so this, I mean, what kind of monster videos themselves crushing or burning or drowning a small animal? So basically what you're saying is now the FBI can swarm in and take care of them.
Absolutely. And we hear regularly from law enforcement around the country that even when they see something wrong, oftentimes they don't have the tools to pursue those individuals. And so this is certainly a step. You know, we want to make sure there's no unintended consequences, but we also want to address these issues. And as technology and globalization allows for all of these kinds of just terrible impulses to be aired out, you know, we need to be able to protect not only our horses and our communities, but our industry. You know, I would hate for horses to become part of you know, some kind of counter underground cultural movement that makes the general public suspect of anyone who has a horse.
Well, so. Yeah. I mean, the racing industry is trying to do that for us at this point. So we're hoping that that doesn't, we agree with you there. And if you want to hear more about the PAST Act, we had, we talked a little bit about it on Monday during the Horsemanship Hour of Radiothon with Priscilla Presley. And in coming up in a future Horsemanship Radio episode, they're going to go a lot into where the PAST Act is, and that's the one that has not been passed yet in Congress. But it will be; they'll be talking about that a little further. Well, I appreciate you clarifying this because it was a little confusing for us. We appreciate it.
Absolutely, anytime. And we're still working very hard at the American Horse Council to get the Prevent All Soaring Tactics Act passed in the Senate. There's a lot more support than we've had in a long, long time. And, you know, that, again, is critical in drawing a line in the sand between the good faith actors and the bad actors within the horse industry.
Well, Cliff, I got to tell you, I'm glad you're on our side. Man, glad you're fighting for us.
It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure.
Thanks, Cliff. Go back to your conference now.
Absolutely. Thank you all very much for the opportunity. We appreciate it. And anything we can do to help, let us know.
Thank you, Cliff.
You know, I almost feel like after that, I need cleansed. I didn't know anything about this.
Oh my God.
I know. How about Templeton Thompson with Christmas Times Are Coming? We'll cleanse and then we'll get back in. I'll tell you the top four most expensive gifts that you can get for the holidays. We have another terrific guest coming up later on. We have Kateri Jackson coming on, and she is the brand newest first Black female mounted patrol officer in Shreveport Police Department. We're going to learn what she went through to get that done. And I'm always excited to talk to the mounted policeman because it just sounds so cool. It's like they have a cool job.
Can't you hear those bells? Can't you hear those bells? Can't you hear those bells? Christmas times are coming, Christmas times are coming, Christmas times are coming, and I know I'm going home. Snowflakes are falling, my old home's are calling, tall pines are humming, 'cause Christmas times are coming. Can't you hear those bells ringing, ringing, joy, joy, hear them singing, when it's snowing I'll be going back to my country home. 'Cause Christmas times are coming, Christmas times are coming, Christmas times are coming, and I know I'm going home. Running, 'cause Christmas times are coming. Can't you hear those bells ringing, ringing, joy, joy, hear them singing, when it's snowing I'll be going back to my country home. Folks back home when Christmas times are coming. Can't you hear those bells ringing, ringing, joy, joy, hear them singing, when it's snowing I'll be going back to my country home. 'Cause Christmas times are coming, Christmas times are coming, Christmas times are coming, I know I'm going home. Christmas times are coming, Christmas times are coming, Christmas times are coming, and Lord, I'm going home.
horse people know that they can count on Ovation's value, quality, and style when it comes to hard-wearing schooling attire, affordable show gear for horse and rider, or top-of-the-line equipment for riders at every level. From breeches to bridle work, saddles to stock ties, helmets to half chaps, Ovation is the premier brand of riding apparel and equipment for you and your horse in the United States, outfitting riders at every level from head to toe. Ask for Ovation brand riding helmets, breeches, and footwear at your local tack store, or go online to ovationriding.com and see the fantastic variety of quality, fashion-forward, affordable products from Ovation. ovationriding.com.
And of course, that song was from Templeton Thompson. She has a whole bunch of Christmas ones, and we get to play those. Now, Jamie lets me play them after Thanksgiving. I get to play the Christmas music.
No pre-Thanksgiving Christmas songs. You know the rules.
I know, and I am inundated in Christmas songs because I have to go through all the voicemails submitted for Radiothon. So I get the whole month of November with Christmas songs. Number four on the list of the most expensive toys you can buy for someone is a Lamborghini model car. It's not a real Lamborghini. It's a model car.
That's stupid.
Yeah. Well, it's so an actual Lamborghini costs $380,000. This particular little guy will set you back $4.6 million. It is unlike the real Lamborghini. This toy version has diamonds, gold, and platinum rims in its steering wheel, seats, and headlights. It took 400 hours of time to make this toy, and you can get it today.
Good Lord, get a real one! Like 10 of them.
Yeah, 10 real ones, exactly. So when you, after you know what is it? You always hear this that actors and rich people buy Lamborghinis and they wreck them within the first hour. Because they go out and they go 1,000 miles an hour and they wreck it in the first hour. It happens every time people buy expensive cars.
I was in a CVS, Glenn, and I walked outside and I saw a man standing on a big truck with like my, you know, my the bumper pull, you know, trailer attachment there. And I walk outside and there's a man crying by my truck. And I was like, what's wrong? What's going on? I mean, he's clearly by my truck. He's like, I hit your truck with my car. I'm like, the truck looks fine. It's no big deal. I've got the bumper hitch on it. Like, it's fine. And he was like, no, I hit it with my brand new Porsche.
Probably smacked the whole front end in.
There's nobody in the parking lot. How fast was he? What an idiot. And I look, and it is his car is just like the bumper pull hitch just went from the back of his all the way up to like the windows. Like, he just crunched the back of the car.
Oh, no.
Sorry, dude. And I was like, oh, dude, that sucks. Have a good day. Moron.
And his wife, he wasn't mad about the car. He's mad about what he was going to get when he got home.
Oh, my God.
Because she didn't want to buy the car in the first place.
I'm sure a dude like that's not married.
All right. Number three on the list is
if he was, he's not anymore.
Number three on the list is a doll. And, you know, I think dolls are creepy anyway. But this is a Madame Alexander doll. And apparently she is adorned with 9 carats of diamonds and costly accessories, including crystals, Christian Dior clothes, and a whole bunch of other stuff.
It's stupid.
Not a particularly attractive doll. but she also has a dog companion by her side, and you can buy this doll for $5 million.
Oh, my gosh.
You know they're making these. Somebody's buying them, right? How about this? And this
Let's go back to Beyonce. Now that her children are grown, do you think they regret paying $600,000 for a solid gold rocking horse?
It's probably worth more now. You know, if they hook it to the plumbing, maybe somebody comes steal it.
They can rent it out.
How about number two on the list? And I don't even get what this is. It's called the Bird Trainer. And it's some kind of little mechanical music box type thing. I don't know. I don't know. It kind of
it's a doll, like on a stand. But when you take the clothes off the doll, it's all mechanical. And it's all these parts and like intricate trinkets. And I mean, I'm sure it was really hard to make and it's amazing.
15,000 hours to make it.
And $6.25 million. I mean, if you do the math, that's pretty good money for the hour. Maybe it's not. I don't do
it. It has 2,300 polished steel parts to make it move, and it doesn't need batteries. It's self-perpetuating. You know, for $6 million, I hope I don't have to put a couple D-cells in it.
Okay, this next one hurts my brain.
The Astolat Dollhouse Castle. It's the most expensive toy on the list. It's the Astolat Dollhouse Castle. It is the costliest toy castle ever built. It costs more than most castles.
This is a dollhouse.
Yes, a dollhouse.
And it looks like a castle, and it is very intricate. I mean, it literally looks like a castle. Like, the close-up pictures, it looks like a home.
Well, it has 29 rooms, 7 floors, a gym, a pool, a kitchen, a basement, an armory, of course, because what castle isn't complete without an armory, a wine cellar, stairways, and hallways. It also has a library, a music room, formal rooms, a grand ballroom, and a bar with tiny real liquor bottles. Real liquor bottles.
It's a freaking dollhouse.
It is. Do you know how much it weighs? It weighs 890 pounds.
Let's talk about the price and let's do a comparison.
Yeah, okay.
Go ahead. Tell us what it costs.
$8.5 million you can have this little dollhouse. But it has 29 rooms, Jamie.
I'm going to Google castles for sale and see how much. Yeah, Chris, let's go to Christie's Real Estate. Castles for sale. Search our collection of castles and talk amongst yourselves. Let's just see what's here. You can get a castle on the tip of the St. Croix, okay, Virgin Islands Castle in St. Croix for and we're talking at the edge. It's up high and it is beautiful. I mean, there is just, it's as picturesque as possible. That's $9.9 million. Okay. So just one more million. You got that.
But you have to pay property taxes on that one. Your dollhouse, you don't.
In Burgundy, these people don't care about property taxes. In Burgundy, France. Okay. $8.2 million for a castle there. In Umbria and Bavagna in Italy, $8 million for a castle. What on earth is the Bubble Palace in France for a price upon request?
That's Does it look like good. A big bubble?
Yes. I don't understand what I'm looking at right now. I'm going to come back to that. there's lots of castles that you could get for the same price as the Dollhouse Castle. This is upsetting me. Sorry. This list sucks.
You're not going to be irritating. Buying the 890-pound tiny castle?
No.
Okay.
No, but I will borrow Beyonce's rocking horse from me.
You know what I came across? I came across this, and I related to it. You know, Scooter's been a little spooky in the past, as everybody knows. He's spooked and bolted at some things. I'll have you know, though, we went out the other day again, and we had a situation that where he could have just went ballistic, and he did not. He spooked, he jumped sideways, but he didn't bolt. So I was very happy with him there. But I came across this on Horse and Hound, and as I get through the 5 million ads that Horse and Hound has on there, it's the things only owners of spooky horses will understand. And I think everybody's owned a spooky horse, right, at one time or another?
Yeah, and I mean, they all kind of should start out as spooky horses.
And this one is so true. We took Jemmy out. Jemmy gets to go around horses once a year when she visits us for a radiothon. She's our producer who's not a horse person. And she gets to go on a carriage ride every year. So we took her out Sunday morning on a carriage ride around the neighborhood. So number one is whenever you go out for a hack, you insist on being the one to choose the route, carefully designed to avoid white gates, barking dogs, running horses. And sure enough, we get to the end of our road. And Jennifer says, which direction we want to go? And I thought about those two horses that spooked Scooter the last time and said, we're not going that way. And I chose the route. So yes, you're the one when you have the spooky horse to go, nah, let's not go that way.
There was one place in Arizona we used to walk around and there was a dog that you couldn't see that would hit the fence. And we just started avoiding that part of the neighborhood.
You know, dogs are fine if they're barking, but you're right. The quiet ones who come up and then all of a sudden they're there.
Bam!
And then they bark or they hit the fence. That's the ones that get the horses. The barky ones.
And any horse will spook at that.
Yeah. I'd rather have them barking. You have painstakingly compiled a list of things your horse finds acceptable or not. And if that's true, and with Scooter, he's fine with any mechanical thing. If it's mechanical, we went by a street sweeper that was running the one day, and he was fine. He didn't even look at it. And that would freak most horses out. But boy, if it's organic, if a horse is running around in a field, or if he hears something in the woods, that's it. Gone. So
bye.
So yeah, that, you know, and I guess plastic bags, he doesn't mind that. He doesn't mind garbage along the road. He wants to investigate all that stuff. And they were actually paving the roads, and the paving equipment was out here, the dump trucks, and it was parked alongside the road. He went up and he just about crawled in it. But boy, if a horse starts running, then he has to go, he has to run too. How about every time you buy a new item of clothing, it needs to pass the non-scary test? Again, he doesn't mind that. I guess some horses don't like flapping and that.
Man,
kind of stuff.
I had a horse off the track, Edward, bless his heart, who I just walked up to him one day, and this is Arizona, so you try to dress appropriately for the weather, but you also need to cover up from the sun. And I walked up to him to get on. I mean, he's already tacked up and standing in the mounting block. And I put my gloves on and I walked up to him, and he freaking lost it and like took off backwards running. He was afraid of my white gloves. I had white gloves on. And it turns out, like, he was afraid of anything white. So,
Isn't that funny?
Yeah. No explaining. White saddle pads.
Ever attacked him?
Terrifying. Maybe, I don't know. A white alien attacked him. And so, white people, who knows?
Doesn't it make you wonder what's in their brains and why that particular thing is the scariest thing in the world?
There was lots that made me wonder about that horse's brain. Bless his heart. He raced like 120 times. There's no telling what was in there.
Yeah, he had a lot of experience. Number four on the list, you find yourself driving to work and eyeing up anything that might be a hazard to your horse. And that is true. I drive through the neighborhood and I go, okay, got to remember that's there. I got to remember that's there. I do find myself looking for that stuff. I think people with non-spooky horses never notice stuff like that. And it's, you know, it's a simple thing sometimes. Is a swinging gate that's not latched? It's just anything. It's just, or wow. If there's exotic animals, that if you have some kind of large bird farm in your neighborhood or llamas or something like that, that'll get them sometimes too. Or we even look for in the neighborhood a new horse. And all the horses have come down now for the winter from Canada and from up north. So there's all kinds of new horses that the horse hasn't seen before as you're driving by. And all of a sudden, we're spooking. And you hate what I love the last one on this list. You ride your friend's very well behaved horse while she's away, and you hate to say it, but you actually find the experience a bit boring.
I swear, once I get a horse trained to where I'm bored, I sell it and then get a new one. Chad's like, what is wrong with you? You always get them all fixed and perfect. And then I'm like, that's what the point is. Like, educate him, move him on. And he's like, but then you're just like going through that whole like drama of getting another horse trained. I'm like, I know. I don't understand. It's
like
masochistic.
I think you like the challenge of training him.
Yeah, well, that's my favorite thing. But he's like, you finally get them like really perfect and competing and doing well, and then you sell them.
Well, and some people like the challenge of competing up to the upper levels and not, you know, I think it depends.
I'm getting to the point where I really dislike braiding so much. Literally,
you
I'm
actually
like,
hired one of our listeners to help you braid it.
I did. Kayla braided for me the makeover, and that's $35 well spent. Any competition, I paid a braider now. But then I'm like, you know what? With Zeus, I'll just roach it a couple weeks out so it grows back enough to where I can grab hold.
We'll have to do a list. We'll in the auditor room. I'll post it, and we'll find out the list of the stupidest thing your horse ever spooked at, and we'll go over those on Friday. We'll follow up on Friday with that.
Let's do it.
All right, but first we have to call our guests coming up, and of course Stanford from Black Reins Magazine comes on with us once a month and brings us the most interesting guests. We have our guests on the line. We have Stanford as usual once a month from Black Reins, and also we have his guest Katari Jackson, who is with us, who has just become the Shreveport Police Department's first Black female mounted patrol officer. First of all, congratulations, officer.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And how everyone is doing this morning.
Good. So now, do you have to be a policeman for a while before you can apply to become a mounted officer?
Yes, sir. You actually have to be on patrol for 3 years before you can apply to go to a division. So Mountain Patrol in Shreveport is a specialized unit. It's 10 of us down there, and I'm the only female. We have a female sergeant, but I'm the first black female that they have, you know, on horses.
Now, were you a horse girl growing up?
No, I have never dealt with a horse ever. So in August, that was my first time like having any dealings with a horse in August. That's when I went to training for it. In August of this year.
And why, being a non-horse girl, did you say, oh, that'd be fun, let's ride a 1,000-pound animal through the streets of a city? What attracted you to that?
I was kind of, like, told at first. Don't get me wrong. Like, on the weekend, Fridays and Saturdays, we do have to go down to the barn, and we do have to feed them. So we do kind of interact with them. And so probably like August, the beginning of August, I was basically told, like, okay, you're going. We kind of start back riding the horses. And so in August, it was kind of like, oh, you're going back. And it's kind of funny because we had like two other females that were supposed to go through training with me. And something happened that they couldn't go. So I was, and that's really how I became the first black female. Basically. And so it's kind of like I had to get in the groove of everything, and then I just kind of fell in love with them. And really, I'm in love with the horse that I went through training with. And so I just kind of fell in love with them. And it was like, okay, they have their own personality, and they're like people. And so from that point, it's just kind of like I just fell in love with horses. And so now I'm just into horses.
So do you get to keep the horse you went through training with now as your horse, or do you get a different one?
Normally, since we just started back riding them, they kind of, you know, the horses are basically getting back in the groove of like getting rode and stuff like that. So me personally, it's really my choice. I can switch up, but I normally would ride the horse I went through training with, and it's another horse that we have that I will get on. Because they're smaller, so, and I'm really short, I'm like 5'4". So they're more like they're smaller horses, and I don't have a lot of trouble with them. So I just really ride those two that we have there in Shreveport, well, at the Boomer.
I used to have an office in the center of Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and they've had a horse police department forever. And I did see them take somebody down the one day with the two Mounted Patrol officers were there, and the guy took off running, and they took off running after him, which is quite a sight to see in the busy traffic. And they basically caught him and pinned him against the wall with the horse. It was one of the most impressive things I've ever seen.
Yeah, and we actually have a similar story when we were going through training. That the last week of training, they would basically take us out, and we'll basically start patrolling with them. And we was just basically the same story. He had a guy we was trying to catch, and he just took off on a bike. So we're in the middle of traffic on horses, like literally chasing him down to catch up with them. And eventually he stopped. Because a lot of people here, they're afraid of me. So it's kind of like, okay, well, I have all these horses surrounding me, so I'm just going to stop at this point. So that was different for me, and quite funny, because you do have people stopping and looking, because a lot of people here, they don't even know that we have horses. And so it's kind of like that's different for them to just stop and look. And so, yeah, I have a similar story.
Did you have to go? I mean, that's the whole point of it, having the police horses, is because it does intimidate a lot of people. But you're galloping down the road on a police horse. Did you take riding lessons, or did they just kind of put you up there and say, giddy up?
Yep. They basically put you on the top. I was putting on the back of the horse, and like, you're going to figure it out.
Good Lord, woman.
Figure it out. Yes, you're basically going to figure it out. So that month, you basically just learning how to ride. So it's like there just be so much information into you. And it's kind of like, to me, this is different because I don't even know what you're talking about. every week it was just something different. And so that's basically what it is. We're gonna put you on top of the horse and you're gonna learn how to groom it and you're gonna learn how to do everything. And I think the one thing that like kind of freaked me out is putting the bit in the horse's mouth. I think that was the one thing that freaked me out.
That's cleaning normal. Hooves not a problem, yeah. But putting the bridle on is where you get stuck.
Yes.
Okay, well, gotcha.
What kind of horses are they using? What breed?
They're with Shreveport. It's more like they get donated, so you have all types. So they come from all over. Normally, we do have. Well, we've had two in the past that have came from Angola.
Oh,
from,
really?
From there. So,
cool.
So they come all over. You have people that donate them. They might pay like a little small fee for them, but it's all types of horses. Once they retire a horse, they normally give them back to who they got them from. So whoever like donated it, they will get the horse, or if one of us want to keep it, then they will give it to one of the guys.
Kitari, I love the fact that I'm staring at your picture right now, and you are not, you're like me. We're sort of, I mean, either the horse is super ginormous or you're about my height, which is probably like five something. And you got a big old horse, girl. I mean, he's huge. Like, did that intimidate you at all, the size of the horse?
Well, not with Tim, because that's his name. Not with him at all. Because he's stubborn. So it was kind of like, and I really had to learn that with him, because it's kind of like, well, they feed off you. So if you're coming in like scared, then he's going to know that. So with him, I really didn't have the first horse they gave me. That was the issue at first, because he actually stepped on my foot. She's afraid of me. But when I got with Tim, he's kind of like in his own little world. So it's kind of like, he's stubborn. So it was more of me having to force him to do stuff versus him being, mean or anything. He's really stubborn.
He's just a little less sensitive than the other one.
I love that you guys get to wear cowboy hats too, instead of those dorky policeman hats.
Don't you call her that other hat. Don't dorky. She'll come over and arrest you, Glenn.
A lot of police departments have dorky hats, you have to admit.
Yeah, but we have both.
You do?
Yeah. Yeah, we have dorky too.
Well, I like hat.
I was thinking, like, you were talking about kind of having to control your adrenaline, control your emotion. I would imagine you have to do that kind of on a daily basis as a police officer anyway. So that might have been something a little easier for you than another person coming in to learn to ride.
Yeah. So, for the most part, I guess you can say that.
Because, I mean, I think what you guys do is heroic and terrifying. So I think, I mean, gosh, people scare me. So horses, I'm okay with. People, they're frightening. So you've mastered them both. Good job.
Yeah. So I guess it's something to be proud of.
All right. So one other question for you. I know you guys have to go to the range and do practice. You have to practice shooting, I don't know, once a month or on a regular basis and have to qualify all the time. Do you have to do that from horseback? Then?
Well, we don't have to qualify with them every year. Being that we just started back up, I think they're going to start doing where once a year we have like a refresher course. But in training, we do have to shoot off of them. And it's not live rounds, but it's basically more like a little paintball gun that we'll use to basically see how they're going to react to it. And so I kind of got lucky with that, like I said, with my horse, because he did perfect with it, because he's so stubborn. So it's kind of like, okay. But we'll have a week of that where we're like basically shooting off of the, basically shooting off the horse, doing traffic stops with them, trying to get them kind of used to noise, because, you know, of course, anything can freak them out. So we have in training, we do that. So next year it might be a little different. I'm not sure. we'll see when it comes. Like I said, they just brought them back.
Well, I'm glad. More and more cities are bringing the horses back. They had gotten rid of them for a while because of cost or whatever else, and they're so effective in policing. Because there's such a presence. I mean, you said you're 5'4". You're not as threatening as you are when you're 6'8" or 7 foot. I mean,
on a horse.
Exactly. So I know you have to go. Qatari, thank you so much for joining us, and good luck in your new gig. That's terrific.
Thank you.
Way to go, girl.
Have fun.
Awesome.
You know what? I know that her department also has bicycles. She got the better end of that deal.
And I do that, too.
Oh, do you?
I ride bikes, too. Yes.
Well, this way, I like you being on a horse better. Thank you, Qatari. Good luck. Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Merry Christmas to you. Y'all have a nice day.
Well, that was fun, Stanford. Thank you so much for bringing her on. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Jamie and Glenn, you do the best interviews, man. I love it.
Well, she's just delightful. Yeah.
Tell us what you have coming up at Black Reins. What's new?
Well, Black Reins, I'm excited because Hollywood has taken notice to the big movement in the cowboy world, and they got a lot of great movies coming out. And so you can look for movies coming out. One is called The Harder They Fall, and it's featuring Idris Elba. And I'm so excited about it. It's about a legendary cowboy called Nat Love. And I guess the story plot is he's seeking revenge on a man who killed his parents. And if anybody knows Nat Love, you could do some research on him. He was a famous cowboy known for being a working on ranches and kind of being this guy that protected a bunch of ranches and farming. And he got a lot of great nicknames over the years as Red River Dick. And in the rodeo world, they end up calling him Deadwood Dick. And what I love about him, he's one of the first cowboys that actually did his own autobiography back in 1907. He's a fascinating character to have experienced all that. And another great movie that's taking place right now is also starring Idris Elba, and it's about the Fletcher Street Riding Club. That's a riding club that's been around for over 100 years, and I'm excited about that because it very highlights what we love the most is about the inner city riding. And
is that
another
one in Pennsylvania? Where is the Fletcher Street?
Fletcher Street is in Philadelphia.
That's
Philadelphia.
Right. We had them on. Yep. Remember, Jamie?
Yep.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, we have.
Years
that was
ago.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, they're doing a movie about that, and it's in production right now. I look at the pictures online, and, you know, they're doing a phenomenal job because it's bringing a spotlight to, and what we know, the impact that horses bring to urban cities, to kids that maybe never get out to these big farms to be able to put their hands on horses. So they're bringing horses to the inner city, and they're doing in production right now.
I'll see anything with Idris Elba in it anyway. So bonus, there's horses.
Well, I'm wondering, is he the only one that can ride? Is that why he keeps getting these gigs?
I have no idea. I think it's what Jamie just said. A lot of people may like to see him on screen. Oh, there's one more movie that's coming out that's featuring Morgan Freeman's production company, and it's about the lawman. It's slipping my mind. What's the legendary alum? Oh, Bass Reeves. God, it's slipping my mind. Oh, Bass Reeves. You know, him being a former slave, and then he fled to live with the Indians and out in Oklahoma, and became one of the most famous lawmen, arresting over 3,000 people of the west of Mississippi, came one of the first black U.S. Marshals.
Huh.
So in honor of Qatari today, that's a big deal.
That'll be a great movie. I can't wait to see that one.
Yeah, Bass Reeves is legendary lawman. I mean, he's one of the greatest black lawmen ever lived.
Well, I need to get more up to date on my Oklahoma history.
Yeah,
Glenn.
You do.
Yeah. Look up Bass Reeves. He's a big time. It is said that the Lone Ranger and Tonto that was originally Bass Reeves.
Huh. Bass Reeves, the real Lone Ranger. Oh my gosh.
Absolutely.
I didn't know that. Wow.
See, absolutely.
Well,
Stanford, that's why
rumored.
You have Black Reigns.
I don't
you
know
just...
if it's factual. It's research done on it. There's a lot of people say it is, but you know, you know how things go. But it's rumored that The original Lone Ranger was actually Bad Freak.
Well, that's you can awesome. Find Stanford and all this good information and all his terrific interviews and articles and things over at blackrains.com. Blackrains.com is where you can find it. Stanford, go back to work now and make sure all you right. design those airplanes well because, you know, we like to get where we're going. So,
thank you, guys. Thanks. You keep up the great work and happy holidays. I don't talk to you before then.
Well, Merry happy Christmas,
holidays.
Stanford. Take care.
All right. Thank you.
How cool. I always love having him on because we learn something every time.
Oh, my gosh. Our guest last time, I just bought his book. So I'm fascinated by everything that Sanford talks about.
By the way, Katari, for those, I'll post her picture as our show notes picture for today. As bubbly and as cute as she sound, she is adorable. So.
And yet she'll put a gun to your
she'll
head
put
if
a
you
gun to your
do
head.
Something
exactly.
wrong.
She sweeps people up. To death until they get out of hand. And then she did have that thing going. It's a great picture of her, so I'm going to post that in there. It was fun to talk to her. Well, this is about what you learned today.
Oh, let's see. I learned that people spend a lot of money on stupid stuff, like buying pretend castles when you could get like a real castle.
I did see the picture of your bubble castle. It's very odd. It's very
yes.
odd.
Yes. I posted it on the Horses in the Morning Facebook page. I also posted the video of Ridge trancing around. I'd like to say he's trantering. And then I learned don't fall asleep on an airplane in Canada because they'll just leave you there. What'd you learn, Glenn?
I learned that there's some really cool movies coming out. That's going to be fun. I want to see a couple of those for sure. And you're going to go see them just to drool, apparently.
Idris Elba, I fell in love with him and he's in the movie Thor. So, I mean.
I learned some disturbing things, but Templeton helped me wipe those out. So that's good.
Yes. Jeez. Don't bring that up. See, we had already moved past that.
And I also learned I can still talk 2 days after Radiothon. So I'm
perfect.
Here. And we'll be back tomorrow. We have a driving episode for you. And then Friday, we're going to be back with really bad ads and kind of getting back in the normal groove of things. We do have some special shows planned. I had all of these listeners do all this homework for filler stuff on Radiothon Day, but we had so many callers, we didn't need it. So we're going to have to do a trivia. We're going to have to get some listeners on and do a Christmas trivia because I got all of this stuff that they researched. So we'll do that. We'll be doing some fun shows as we get closer to Christmas here, and some obviously doing some more holiday stuff as well. Thank you, everybody. We'll talk to you again tomorrow morning.
Spay, neuter, geld. Have a good one. Bye.
All right, we're out. I know you have another one to get to.